Bibles, please turn to Psalm 18. Psalm 18, and we're going to read the first six verses together. Psalm 18, verses 1 through 6. Mike and Arlene are on vacation for this Sunday and next. They're in Florida. She sent me a picture of the dashboard on their vehicle that said it was 81 degrees. And I said, do you think I'm jealous? I'm not. And so anyway, I might be if it gets to be 20 below. Psalm 18, verses 1 through 6. Let's read this responsively. I will love the Lord. I will love thee, O Lord, with my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of the ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you tonight. Help us. Help us when, by the time we get done tonight, Lord, when we put our head on the pillow, I hope that you will have received a little bit more praise than you normally do. Help us to do this daily. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Our society seems to thrive on who gets the credit or who gets the trophy for whatever happens. If someone doesn't get recognized, or if they don't get a trophy, or if they don't get an award or a ribbon, then people get all depressed and upset. Our schools and our county sports now don't keep score in sports because they don't want to upset the young people. They want to give everybody a participation trophy, and it doesn't matter who comes in first place. Thank God I grew up in a generation that was a little tougher than that. I was principal in a Christian school. I had a wonderful award service. We gave out all the awards that we were supposed to give out. And the next week, a set of parents came to my office, and people that have means and people that have, and I won't use the name because virtually everybody in here would know the name, and the man was so upset, he had to have his wife do some of the talking. And I said, Doc, I said, what is the matter with you? He said, just don't think it's right. He said, my daughter didn't get first place, and she cried. I said, and your point is? He said, well, I already know she was better than the one. I said, hold it. I said, that was academic. I said, we ran the numbers. Trust me. I said, she didn't earn it. And then he got real quiver-lipped and red-faced. His ears were turning red. His wife got up and just stormed out of my office. He said, I don't think it's right for students to cry because they don't get an award. He said, I think they all should get an award. I said, really? I said, did you watch the Super Bowl last year? Yes. I said, did you watch grown men cry when they lost the Super Bowl? He said, that's not what I'm talking about. It didn't go over real well. That's the kind of society we live in. Can I tell you something? I don't care who gets the credit. God deserves the credit. May I humbly say, God is worthy of our praise. Man is not worthy of our praise. And I mean this in all sincerity. The best of us are still sinners.
Right.
The best of us. So why do we try to compare our sin with somebody else's sin? Either way, we're still sinners. That's like looking at one pig in a mud hole and him telling the other pig in the mud hole he's not as dirty as him. We're still pigs in the mud hole. Sorry to say that, all right? But God is worthy of our praise. I'm not saying it's wrong to praise people for the good that they do. I told the choir today they did a good job, and they did. I thank God for Kirsten. That girl has come unscrewed playing that piano in the last few months. And I'm for that. You don't know the hours she puts into practicing either. I hear it, and I'm glad for it. And I don't hear all of it. But may I say this? I think it's right for us to tell somebody when they've done something good, but how about we tell God more than we tell anybody? And I don't mean this in a... If this torques your nose too bad, we ought not be going around looking to get praised. When we start fishing for praise, did you see what I did, Brother June? That's when you're about to get in trouble.
Right.
Now, if somebody recognizes you, God bless you. But if they don't, who gives a flip? A wise preacher once said, it's amazing how much could get done if nobody cares who gets the credit.
Yes, sir.
And that's very true. When we live expecting and we live seeking credit, fellas, I think you ought to tell your wife she cooked good when she cooks good. Sometimes it's good whether you like it or not. Amen? I don't always tell my wife something's good, but she knows it's good because I clean my plate. Now, if I don't eat it, she wonders. I might say that's not quite what I like. But it's rare. I can just about push anything down the hatch. All right? Now, but I am for praising when something's good. When she cooks my favorite foods, I like it. I'll tell her. Say why? Because if I tell her, she might make more of it. Amen? We're on this stupid diet. That's enough to kill anybody. You know, I think I'm going to die fat. I got to tell you this. This was funny. Somebody sent me something this week. Had a picture of President Trump and Hillary on it. And he was at the Oval Office and she was somewhere else. And it was him saying, knock, knock. She said, who's there? And then had a picture of the White House and he said, not you. I like that one. I really like that one. I shouldn't do it, but I got one today. Somebody took a picture of the march yesterday in D.C., and it said, in one day, President Trump got more fat women out walking than Michelle Obama did in 8 years. Now, it might not be politically correct, but I sure did enjoy that one. Now, I say that to say, we're all sinners. You don't have to laugh at my humor, but I thought that was funny. There's not everybody that did, but I thought it was great. Now, Psalm 18 has become a very big blessing in my life, especially in the last 5-6 years. Tonight, I want to teach you a lesson that I've learned out of Psalm 18. I call this, Who is Worthy to be Praised? Who is worthy to be praised? God made us to praise Him. God made us to fellowship with Him. God made us to spend time with Him. Say, oh, I don't know how to do it. Yes, you do, because He made you to do it. It's real easy. Just start talking to Him and start reading His book and let Him talk to you. It's that simple. But He is the one worthy of our praise. By the way, it's not wrong for Him to want our praise because He has no sin. He wants us to praise Him so that we can do more for Him, so that He can do more for us. He wants us to praise Him so He can return it and give us more than what He has already given us. So let me start here, and I think I can, don't panic, but I got 8 points tonight or 7 points that I want to give you, but I'm going to run through them quickly. Praise, number one, is not based on circumstances. Praise is not based on circumstances. Look at verse number three. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. If you have enemies that are attacking you, the Bible says here, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. That's when you're under attack. Do you know you're supposed to praise God when things aren't going well as praise God when everything's going fine? Brother Stoltz can get up and play his git fiddle and his mouth organ is harmonica, and what'd you play tonight? It's Still the Blood?
No, Sun's Coming Up.
Sun's Coming Up. I knew it was one of those. I knew what it was, but I, I'm preaching. I'm not thinking. I was praising God for that. I remember that song. I was thinking of Howard Jewell, and I was thinking of others that I know that have sung it, and I enjoy that song. There's many a night I wondered, is the sun going to make it up before I die? And thank God it always gets up. Amen?
Amen.
Now, wait a minute. We're supposed to praise him when it's going bad. Not just when it's going good. It's easy when everything's going good to praise somebody. But when it's going tough, that's when you got to learn how to praise God. It's easy when all the bills are paid to praise God. It's hard to praise God when all the bills you don't know how are going to get paid. Anybody doing okay? So praise is not based on circumstances. When we learn to praise God, no matter what happens around us, we praise him because he is worthy, not because of the circumstance. Brother Roloff, Brother Lester Roloff used to have a statement. He used to say, praise God anyhow. That's a pretty good analogy. Praise God anyhow. We need a strong praise life. Can I tell you this? When you start praising him well, it's easy to praise each other a little easier. If we won't praise a God who is worthy of our praise, we have no chance of praising somebody who's a sinner in doing it right. Everybody doing okay? So it's not the circumstance that brings the praise. Praise is based on truth, and praise is based on his worthiness. Number two, distress will come. Look at verse number six. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. That word distress literally means stress, great pressure. It means when you can't stop it from coming. Can I tell you something? You can't stop all stress. Now, you can organize around most stress. You can plan for most stress. But there are stresses that come you don't have any plan for. I had a stupid spider bite my elbow 2 weeks ago. I've been fussing with this thing, feuding with this thing. They went over to Wally yesterday, and she stuck a needle in me about that far. I don't know how many times. We're trying to squeeze gunk out of it. We can't get anything out of it, and it's getting worse and getting bigger. And I'm going to have to go get stupid doctor look at a dumb bug bite. Well, I got bit with a brown recluse last year. Man, I have poisoned my house like you wouldn't believe. There's not going to be another spider in that home. I'm tired of these stupid spiders getting me at night when I sleep. And I mean, it's right on the end of, I mean, right on the point of my elbow. And my wife won't poke it. And it's hard to poke when you're into, you know, you're trying to do this with bifocals. You know, you're like this. So I went over to Wally. I said, Wally, pop this stupid thing. And she's over there and she's, and she said, no, it's going to hurt. And I said, nah, I said, I'm going to be okay. And she had it in there two or three times, and I said, I know you're in there, but she said, man, you got, I said, I know, tough hide. But it won't work. So I'm going to have to probably have them cut the stupid thing open. I don't know what they're going to do. Now, wait a minute. I'm not going to let it stress me out. I'm not worried about it. I said, well, what if they got to cut it? They cut it. They bandage it up, and I'm fine. I don't worry about it. Cut the stupid thing. Just get the poison out. I don't care. Now, wait a minute. You can't stop all stress. Distress comes by circumstances. You go out and your tire's flat. Well, you didn't plan for that. That's a stress. And then you're going to have to watch your wife change it in the rain tonight. All right? We're to praise God no matter what the circumstances are around us. Joe, don't look at your wife that way. You're about to get slapped, all right? I'm just telling you. I saw the look in her eyes looking back at you, all right? Now, wait a minute. We're to praise God no matter the circumstances. Can I tell you something? It wasn't easy to praise God when we didn't know how to pay the bills around this place. It's a little easier to breathe right now, but I'm still praising God that we got through it. I never brought those stresses to you. You say, why? Not your stress. That's between me and God. And that's the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to praise God no matter what. Realize that it's not if distress comes, it's when distress comes. Did you know you're not going to make it through life without distress?
Right.
It's impossible. It is impossible for you to make it through life without stress. Is it too cold in here? Brother Stoltz, can you crank that thing up about 2 degrees? I'm sweating like a racehorse right now, so don't you turn it up 2 degrees, not down. All right? I'm trying to be good. All right? It just went off. Now, Mung, it could be 140 degrees and you're still going to be cold. All right? Now, distress will come. Not if, when. And by the way, stress comes to young people. Stress comes to middle-aged people. Stress comes to married people every day. Stress comes to unmarried people. Stress comes to widows and widowers. Stress comes to people that are well. Stress comes to people that are sick. Stress comes to everybody. So realize it's coming, but learn to praise God in spite of the stress. You say, well, preacher, I'm under the gun. I've got this. But look how much that you're not under the gun for that you can praise God for. Thank God you got a Bible that doesn't change.
Amen.
You can praise him that your name's written in heaven. You're not going to die and go to hell. You're not going to be judged for your sin. There's a whole lot to praise God for right there. So you got plenty to praise God for. Number three, praise delivers us from our enemies and from our problems. Look at verse number 16. I love this. I'm about to shout. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from them which halted me, for they were too strong for me. Wow. When you learn to praise, God has the ability to reach down and defeat your enemy with and for you. When I'm under attack from an enemy, I learned how to praise God. I learned how to ask God to and learned how to praise him for things that I didn't have control over. I didn't beg him to destroy my enemy. I praised him for the good going on around me. You know, when I'm attacked, I try to do more for God. I don't complain about my enemy attacking me. I just go out and try to help somebody or go win somebody to the Lord or go witness to somebody. I start seeing somebody's life change or I invest in somebody's life. I don't worry about the attack and then I praise God for what's going on over here. And in the process of praising God for what's going on over here, God says, oh, let me take care of your enemy. Whack. Whack. Every time. I don't bother with fighting my enemy. I don't check on the status of my enemy. You know, one reason I don't have Facebook is because I don't want to hear what people say about me. I really don't. I get enough of it as I go out and about. I don't need to read it every day. I said this the other night. Wally's got a book. She wanted me to read the book. I told her, I said, Wally, I can't read that book right now. I'm not strong enough. I said, that book will make me mad. I know what book it is. I know what it's about. And the problem is, if I read it, I still can't do anything about it. And I said, it would frustrate me. And my church doesn't need me to get frustrated like that. She can't even get through it. She's so mad. Now, wait a minute. I don't need that added stress to me because I've got to help people. And it's not that it's a bad book. It's not a bad book, just so you know. Okay, there's nothing wrong with it. It's a true it's a true book. It's not some novel or something like that. But it's just one that even if I read it and had the information, I couldn't change anything about it, and that would frustrate me. And then it's going to make me mad. So I don't read it. Praise delivers you from your enemies. Praise gets God's attention and gets God's blessing. You want to get God's blessing and get God's attention? Start giving him praise. You're not stronger than your enemy, but praise is. A lot of times I'm not stronger than my enemy, but my praise life is stronger than theirs. And I end up winning because I praised God more for things than they did, and God whacked them upside the head and kept me going. Number four, I gotta hurry. God delights in our praise and will reward us. Look at verse number 19. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted, watch this, in me. Wow, look at verse 20. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. Now I want you to notice something. God delights in us. He wants to spend time with us. It doesn't say he delights in what we do. He delights in us. God wants to spend time with you. God wants to hear you praise him so that he can then reward you. God wants you to praise him. That means you're spending time with him. And then he says, because you've taken that time, let me reward you. And if I reward you, then you're going to come back and praise me some more, and we're going to have a good old time. And that's what it is. God wants to spend that time. Can I tell you something? If God's happy, I'm happy. You know the old statement, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Right. All right. But if God's happy, everybody could be happy. I'll be honest with you. I want you to enjoy Grace Baptist Church, but I want him to enjoy it more than anybody.
That's good.
I know if he enjoys it, we're going to enjoy it. So we try to please him more than please man. By the way, that's why church should be built on pleasing God, not pleasing people. That's why our program of the church is going to be based on pleasing him. And we're not going to have the stage shows and the smoke and the rock and roll music and the drama and all the other garbage that goes on to please man. I want to please God, not please man.
That's good.
God is more apt to reward those who praise him. So let's keep the praise going back to God. That's what it's all about. Number five, our praise will keep us after people and not after things. And I use that term, keep us after. That means we'll be reaching people more than we're searching for things. Look at verse number 27. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down the high, but will bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness, for by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have leaped over a wall. Now let me say this, it's not wrong for people to have nice things. But when your nice things come before reaching out to help somebody, and witnessing to people, and soul winning, then your things are a bit more important than God.
Yes, sir.
I'm for a nice house. But may I say this, if that's your end goal in life is to have a nice house, you're not going after the right thing.
Right.
I'm for having a nice car, keeping your cars clean. But if it means you can't go soul winning because you got to spend 14 hours cleaning your car, run it through the stupid car wash and go win somebody to Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Now, if you can do both, great, do both. But God will reward us when our praise goes to God. We want to get others involved in praising him. We ought to be after people, not things. You know, when we focus on us, we tend to praise God for our things. When we focus on others, we tend to focus on God and how good he is. Let me just bring it down to where we live. We ought to praise God because we're headed towards a new building, but once we get in that new building, if we quit winning souls, it's worthless. One of our good men's getting their CDL, Brother Joe Heaney. He texted me this week. He said, Preacher, I'm about ready to go take my test. He said, does the church need me to get my pastor endorsement just in case I need to drive the bus someday? I said, yes. I said, and just so you know, Joe, it's not if, it's when. I said, I don't plan on stopping at one bus. I said, we're going to have more buses someday. I said, I need bus drivers. He said, well, I'll get it then.
Amen.
I love that. I love that. He said, boy, he said, God's really going to do something. I said, he's going to do something because we're going to stay after people. But if we get in that new building and get all comfortable and say, look what we've got and we quit reaching people, I hope the building falls down on top of us. We didn't build it to say, look what we've got. We built it to go reach more people.
Amen.
Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to put levers in there for God to pull. And if we quit, he's going to pull the levers and drop that puppy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, number next. By the way, I praise God for the people of this church. I do. I thank God for you every day. And I go through lists and lists and lists of people, and I pray for you, and I don't always tell everybody, but I do. Next, we need to praise God for His Word. Look at verse number 30. Oh, I love this. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. Can I tell you something? If you don't have anything at all to praise God for, you got that.
Amen.
Amen.
And if you can't find that and praise Him for that, something's wrong.
Yes, sir.
You know, thank God we have a code of ethics. We have God's perfect holy words. We have everything in here by which we need to live. God said man can't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We've got an every word Bible. He gave it to us. He perfected it. And by the way, it wasn't just perfect and inspired in the originals. The originals were spread out over 3,000 years. Jesus was quoting scripture from almost 2,000 years before him, and he said, scripture says. Those weren't the originals.
Right.
That's right.
It wasn't just scripture in the original. The word of God himself called those scriptures.
Amen.
And we have the perfect word of God in the King James Bible.
Right.
Let it be your authority. Read it. Study it. Hear it preached. Be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Be here. Get involved with it. Let this book change your life. I'm proud of one of our ladies in our church. I won't tell you who it is, but this year they promised the Lord to do a little bit more in their Bible reading. And every once in a while they give me an update, and it just excites me. I get excited that that's somebody's goal. Can I tell you something? We can praise God for the Word of God. I'll hurry here. Last point, number 7. Praise will give you strength. Look at verse number 32. It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet. He setteth me upon high places. He teacheth my hands to war so that the bow of steel is broken in mine arms. Can I tell you something? When we praise God, He gives us strength. This old preacher gets tired every once in a while, believe it or not. But my wife will tell you, I can be dragging into church. And I mean just pulling myself in here, and something snaps when it's time to teach or preach. It's like, here we go. Man, last year I preached the whole month of December with walking pneumonia, remember? I couldn't even talk. Get up to preach. My voice was pure, clear. Bow your head. And I was talking like this. It'd go out. I was feeling like trash most of the time. A lot of time I had a fever almost that whole month. But something happened. God gave me the strength to get through it. Amen?
Amen.
And I found myself getting stronger every time I preached. Miss Wally laughs at me. She looks at my blood pressure. She said, preacher, your blood pressure is probably lower when you preach than it is when you're not preaching. I said, it is. I said, this is what God's called me to do. I'm having fun. Now, when we praise God, He gives us strength. He helps us have the strength to fight the battles and make it through the day. Can I tell you why some of us don't make it through? Because we don't praise Him. We're looking at everything going on around us, and we're not looking up and praising Him. When I get tired and I get down and I get weary, I look up and say, okay, I need to take about 10 minutes out and I'm going to praise you for a while and have a spell. And I do. Man, I drove out to the property yesterday and Brother Stoltz had some young folks out there cleaning up. Man, I was having a spell. I praised God all the way home. I was tired yesterday. I really didn't want to come out to that property yesterday, Brother Stoltz. But I said, those young people spent all afternoon out there. And if they can go out there, I need to get off my backside and go out there and tell them they did a good job.
Amen.
I really didn't feel like it. You know, by the time I got home, I was glad I was there, and I was feeling a whole lot better. Not because I just magically got some energy. No, I praised God for young people willing to work for a trip to go to youth conference to get preached at. Young people that care enough about their own church to go out there and do those things. I thought, man, we are so spoiled. I cannot wait for that church building to get up But watching everybody pull together, I've watched Brother Barnes go out there and knock trees down and burn junk and burn brush. And he's a crazy man out there. Brother Stoltz has been out there. He burned all kinds of stuff out there. Don't tell the EPA. I mean, we still have a ton out there to get done, but we're whittling her down. By the time we get this thing rolling, it's going to go. Praise gets you off your eyes off yourself and off your situations and gets you on something that's stronger than you. God is stronger than you. When you don't feel like you have the strength to go on, praise Him. When you begin to praise Him, you're looking at Him and not you. And when you quit looking at you, all of a sudden, you get a little breath of air and you say, I think I can make it. I think I can take another step. Did you ever get sick and didn't feel like you're going to get through getting sick? And then something happened and somebody else had a need and you thought, oh, I really don't feel like this, but I'm going to go help them anyway. And you drug yourself out and you went and helped them. You know what? By the time you got done, you were feeling better, weren't you? Well, the same thing's true with praise. You get down, you get discouraged. Can I tell you something? Schedule some praise in that thing. Schedule some shouting in that thing. Schedule some, God, you're so good. This is why you're good. And God, you're worthy of it all. That's what it's all about. Praise helps us to be gentle. Look at verse number 35. Thou hast also given me the shield of salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thank God He's gentle with us. Every once in a while, He's got to whack us upside the head. But, you know, can I tell you something? When you begin to praise people, you start being a little bit more gentle with them. Maybe it's just me getting older. But I think I've learned more about God. You know, praise takes the edge of battle off of us. My wife hates when I go through a battle. I've had to learn to temper myself because I could bring that battle home and I'm in fight mode. I'm in survive mode. Then I'm in fight mode with everybody around me, you know. I fight with the kids and fight with a dog or whatever. Can I tell you something? When you learn how to praise, it takes that edge off to where you're not bringing that home all the time. When I fight my wife now, she's the last one in the world to find out we're going through a battle. Say, why? I've learned how to take it to Him and leave it there. That's what it's all about. It's made me a gentler person. Don't look at my pulpit. You learn how to hurt with people. You know, I watch people, they'll listen to me preach, go out and do exactly opposite of what I said, get themselves in a mess and say, preacher, I need help. Now, my flesh wants to say, didn't you listen to one thing I just told you? But after seeing thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people do it, I still hurt for them. I still take the time to help them. Brother Stoltz and I were working on a situation yesterday. And I knew it was coming. I predicted it, even to the person that was doing it. I told them weeks ago they were going to do this. And they did. Say, what'd you do? I was very gentle, very tender. Started trying to help them, bring it back. And we did. You say, but preacher, don't you get... Yeah, I do, but they're sinners, just like you and me. They hurt like you and me. I got a call from a friend of mine, a preacher friend, who's got an adult child that's misbehaving, breaking their heart. He said, my wife's just crushed. My wife was able to get in contact with her a little bit. I'm helping him. I made a statement to him. I said, Doc, I said, God only had one perfect child out of billions. If a perfect God only had one perfect child, what chance do we have as imperfect parents to have good kids? I said, you need to realize something. Your adult children aren't your problem. They're adults. Sometimes when children do wrong, it's because they're disobedient children, not because you're a bad parent. He said, man. He said, I'm just getting beat up from people saying how bad of a parent, Mio, maybe I should resign. I said, you hold your chin up, you hold that Bible up, and you pound that pulpit and preach like you always do. I said, don't you give in. I said, as an adult, they're making their own decisions. It doesn't mean you were a bad parent. It could mean that they're just a disobedient child. And they answer to God for what they're doing. Now they're adults. They're not just a child. They're not your child. They're grown people. He said, thanks, Brother Bush. I texted him early this morning, about 4:30 or 4:45. I said, how you doing? I said, did you get any sleep? He said, how'd you know? I said, because I've been where you're at. I coached him through this morning. He had two visitors and one saved at church today.
Amen.
Bless God. He's on topside this afternoon. Can I tell you something? I don't enjoy that, but we were able to praise God for what happened. Isn't that how you get your strength? And it makes you gentle. You go through a battle like that, you want to be gentle with somebody because you've been there and you know what it's like getting beat on. Let's learn to be gentle by our praise. You know, let's be happy when others succeed. You know, I'm happy when other people succeed. I'm not in competition with anybody. I want Brother Walters up in Maine to get his building built as much as I want to get our building built. I want a pastor friend of mine who's just in the last 2 weeks, he's losing 20 people in his church. Moving. I know how he feels. But he texted me this afternoon and said, bless God, he said, we had 13 visitors, 4 saved and 1 baptized.
Amen. Amen.
I said, you got it, Doc. You got it. You got it. God's still on the throne. Can I tell you something? I hurt with those people. But it makes you gentle. That's what it's all about. Let's learn how to praise him, because he's the one worthy of praise. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Let's not be seeking praise. Let's seek to praise. Let's not seek people to bring out publicly all the good we do. Let's seek to praise God for all that he does.